Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but you keep hearing back and forth debate about whether or not America's forefathers ever had the blessing of God. Well, my friend, they certainly did, at least collectively. While I wouldn't call our Constitution perfect, and it's certainly not inspired like the Bible, it did put in place some very wise checks and balances which have kept our country free for well over 200 years. Unfortunately, this freedom weighs in the balance. There are well-funded, well-organized movements calling for the abolishment of our Constitution, nothing less, all coinciding with an election year. As we move now into the heart of our 2020 election season, the last 2 months, the final stretch, there's all kinds of talk about election fraud, from flooded mail-in ballots to ballot harvesting to illegal residents voting to dead people coming to life and voting. Every election year, I always say to those of you out there that are atheists, how come so many people resurrect at election year? Dead people on the rolls. This has been absolutely proven, absolutely validated. Very, very few people are doing anything about it. And of course, a subject that gets revisited lately every election year, the popular vote as opposed to the Electoral College. You're going to be hearing about it again in November. We're already hearing a lot about it now, but it'll intensify by November. If, like last time, Donald Trump wins the electoral vote but not the popular vote, many will try to insist that he is not the true winner. Well, they won't stop with the popular vote. They'll also accuse him of cheating, of stealing mailboxes, working with Russia, you name it. They're already doing a lot of that. Hillary has already told Joe Biden not to concede after the election, no matter what. It's like they're planning on losing, but planning on challenging the outcome all ahead of time in the hopes that some judge will make the final decision. But right now, for today, I merely want to focus on the Electoral College, because this, at least, is a discussion that well-intentioned people with different opinions can have in good faith and in a respectful manner. Because this is a discussion that gets back to the Constitution and the wisdom of our forefathers. And finally, because this concerns the future of elections, with all the talk about abolishing the Electoral College, if not the entire Constitution itself. Sometimes, my friends, the best way to find wisdom looking forward is to stop, take a deep breath, and look back. What better place to begin by looking back in time 4 years ago? Maybe you voted for Trump. Maybe you voted for Hillary. Maybe you voted for neither. Doesn't matter. You'll want to pay attention right now because your preference for president does not change the truth. Okay, 4 years ago, the day after the 2016 election, the Democratic Party was still in shock over a surprise Trump victory. Some consolation was immediately articulated in the knowledge that Hillary at least won the popular vote. Vice presidential running mate, Virginia Senator Tim Kaine said, and I quote, "She became the first major party nominee as a woman to be president, and last night won the popular vote of Americans." Did she? Did she really? Okay, look, many Americans do not like or understand our Electoral College system. On one hand, I can't blame them. It's been made to come across as very confusing. It's actually a lot simpler than that. But I don't blame people for being confused. And back in 2016, for Hillary's fans, those who voted for her, they were absolutely livid. In their minds, Hillary's popular vote victory was interpreted as a conviction that she was indeed the true election winner. For this reason, some perspective is in order. Actually, Clinton did not win the popular vote. Yes, you heard me correctly. Clinton did not win the popular vote. All right, I'll say it just one more time. Clinton did not win the popular vote. Why? Why do I say this? It's simple, because we were not taking a popular vote. We were taking an Electoral College vote. Oh, true. technically she did win a certain nationwide counting that we call a popular vote, but in reality, that tally is nothing more than a mere shadow of the Electoral College. Leftover debris, showing how the votes would have looked if we were going to ignore the states they came from and throw them all into one bundle. However, this was a nation which knew ahead of time that the votes were going to be determined by the states. Knowing this affected the way people voted. Let me give you an example. Many Democrats in California may not have felt the need to vote for Clinton since they knew California was not a battleground state, but rather a blue state. In California, Hillary was a shoo-in. One or two more votes this way or that way weren't really going to make any difference, but of course each person talks about the one or two votes. If enough people do that, it's many votes. Likewise, many Republicans in California who preferred a different nominee than Trump, he was a very unconventional candidate, they preferred someone else, the people that they wanted didn't get the nomination, and these people wanted to appease their consciences by not voting for Trump. A lot of them have admitted over Facebook, other internet exchanges, that had they thought their California vote mattered, they might have plugged their noses and marked the ballot for Trump as the lesser of two evils in order to at least prevent a Clinton victory. But knowing Trump had no chance in California, no chance, they were able to have their cake and eat it too. On one hand, they can brag that they never voted for Trump. On the other hand, they would not have been held responsible by other conservatives had it been a Clinton victory. My friends, the situation was the same in state after state. Nobody in Tennessee or Alabama had doubts that Trump would win. Nobody in Massachusetts or New York had doubts that Clinton would win. Had our country thrown out the Electoral College ahead of time and decided to go with a straight popular vote from coast to coast, our citizens would have viewed their own votes as being far more important. Many more people would have made it to the polls. I'm not saying that means Trump would have won. I'm saying nobody knows how it would have come out. And that means nobody knows Clinton would have won either. Therefore, the so-called popular vote that Clinton loves to brag about does not really tell us anything. In the face of such elections, it is important to review the wisdom of our forefathers in setting up the Electoral College in the first place. We must keep in mind that America was created to be a union of separate states, functioning in many ways as their own separate countries, but united for common good, such as mutual protection. In this vein, each state individually names its own pick for president. If this were not the case, politicians would do the lion's share of their campaigning in our most heavily populated areas, such as New York City and Los Angeles. The middle of the country could be virtually ignored. As for the promises to these states in the middle, what promises? There would be none. At least none that any politician felt obligated to make. My friends, the name of our country is not America. The name of our country is the United States of America. That is why we have an Electoral College, and that is why the ill-titled popular vote should not make a hill of beans of difference. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.